Okay, Dr. Yusuf, you have been walking us daily through Nehemiah. Help us understand how fantastically big and outrageous Nehemiah's task was.
Well, just think of the gumption.
Unbelievable.
the gumption that can only come from God. There's no human ego could have really anticipated all this and were able to say it to the king. I mean, this man would have lopped his head off without even batting an eye. I mean, he said to him, I said, what do you want finally? He said, I never thought you'll, he didn't say that, but I never thought you'll ask. But then he kind of said, I want this and this and this. And
well,
even
let's
the
just
timber.
Go over that. It was very financial. Like, this is like your best employee walking up to you, asking you for your credit card.
That's right.
Asking for the boss's credit card.
And I'm going to load it, and because this is a limitless credit.
Yeah.
The king of Persia. And so he said, I'm going to load that, buy timber, and take all the stuff that I need in order to get back and build the wall. I mean, so much gumption that truthfully cannot come from anyone except from God.
And it was actually counter to the law that had been set, that Jerusalem was supposed to be destroyed.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
He was reaching into a historical past, saying, this needs repairing.
Yes.
Outrageous, correct?
Not only that. You remember how the laws of the Medes and the Persians.
I mean, well, no, I actually don't know the laws of the Medes and Persians.
We always kind of joke about it. It's not the laws of the Medes and the Persians, you know, meaning it's not set in concrete that it can never be changed. That's where, in the vernacular, we say, well, it's not the laws of the Medes and the Persians. But in reality, what that means that no one, but the king could go back on their word.
And that's where Nehemiah was going.
Yeah, Jerusalem, it's not going to be built. It's not going to be built. That's set in concrete. But the king said, no, it's going to be built because God, and he called him my servant, which is the most amazing thing. God called the Persian king my servant. And God is the one who turns the heart of the king. I mean, it's just like a dial for us. That's he works the heart of the king. And he was working on the king's heart. And so when Nehemiah said, I need this and this and this and this and all the grocery list that he came up with, which was huge, and then letters from you to say, you know, this is okay and so forth, it can only be from God. It can only be confidence that comes from knowing you are serving the King of Kings.
And how do I take that great analogy? Because, you know, these stories of Nehemiah have captured our imagination.
Sure.
And you're challenging us, mine out of them. Do you expect me to go to my physical circumstances and say, give me to the authority figures? How do I apply that audacity?
Well, you can apply it with God, first of all. And God has limitless resources. I think it was Billy Graham, and I'm not sure exactly, but I think it was Billy Graham said, when we go to heaven, we're going to discover so many blessings with our names written on it, but never was dispatched. Never was dispatched because it was never asked for.
You write about Ephesians 3, 9 and 10.
And James
more.
Said,
yeah,
James said,
interest.
You have not because you ask not. And in Ephesians, Paul said, he can do more beyond your expectation, beyond your imagination. I mean, imagine whatever you want to imagine, and then he does even more than that.
So you would say, get myself in a posture of asking from God.
Yes. Only that which I know that's consistent with his will and with his word. Now, and I say to God, God, give me a palace and a fleet of Mercedes or this and that and the other thing. Now, wait a minute. That's selfish stuff. But if you're praying for the will of God, consistent with the word of God, and the word of God said, in the words of Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the other stuff will be added. All your needs are going to be met. And so when you're focusing strictly on that which is glorifying to Jesus, what is the joy of the Father? The joy of the Father is for Jesus to be glorified. And so when I seek things that are glorifying to Jesus, I am meshing God's will with mine. And so there's no conflict here.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about discouragement and Distraction.
Yes.
With Dr. Michael Youssef, get your copy of his great book, God Help Me Rebuild My Broken World. Thank you, Dr. Youssef.
Pleasure.